Tonight's shiur in Parshas Kisavo. Pasuk states, "V'samachta b'chol atov, asher nasan l'cha Hashem elokecha ulebeisecha." You should be happy with all the good that Hashem gave you. So Rechayim says something on the pasuk. He relates that this is a hint to what it says when it says b'chol atov, that it's referring to the Torah. Ein tov ela Torah, as it says, ki lechach tov, nasati lechem Torah si al tazovu. Tov is in reference to the Torah. So when it says, na pasuk v'samachta b'chol atov, it means you should be happy in the Torah. Says the Yor HaChaim HaKadosh, I quote, she'im hayu b'nei adam margishim b'mesikus v'arevus tov haTorah. If it would be that a person would feel the sweetness, tremendous sweetness and good of the Torah, hayu mishtagim umislahatim achareha. A person would literally go crazy over the Torah. V'lo yechasheh b'neim alo olam kesev ezav lemuma. And all the money in the world would be considered nothing, ki haTorah kolelas kol hatovo shebolam, because the Torah includes all the good in the world. This is the lashon of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. With this, we can understand a Gemara in Erevin. It says over there on the pasuk in Mishle, ba'ahavasa tishke tamid, the Gemara learns out that tishke can also mean to be like a fool, that because of the love of the Torah, one ends up doing foolish things. Kugon, says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Padat, Shahaya Yoshev Osek Batorah Bashuk HaTachton Shel Tzipori. Elazar ben Padat, he was sitting and learning Torah in the bottom part of the market in Tzipori. Ustino Mutal Bashuk Elyon Shel Tzipori. And his coat was on the top part of the market. In other words, he was so involved with his learning that he didn't realize that he left his coat here and he was down here, and he was just oblivious to what was going on because of his learning of the Torah. So the Marsha asks, he says, L'chure, inzo maile l'Torah she keshoge upeti al yada? That's such a wonderful thing, such a praise. It's so praiseworthy, the Torah, that it makes a person crazy? What's the Gemara trying to tell us? But according to the Or HaChaim, which we mentioned, it's very good. Because when a person ends up doing crazy things, what is that telling us? That he's so involved in Torah, the Torah is, out of the sweetness of it, it's making him crazy. So it's testifying to the sweetness and the beauty of the Torah. When we see a person doing what seems to be odd things, it's because he's so involved with the beauty of the Torah. Brings here some very interesting ma'asiyot. First of all, the Chazon Ish. Once he was going for a stroll, the doctor said it was very important. He gets a little bit of exercise every day, so he used to go for a stroll. So one afternoon, early evening, he was going on a stroll, and of course, it didn't mean he was wasting his time. He was thinking in the sugya, in the Gemara, while he was walking. So somebody was walking with him, and he saw the Chazon Ish was walking, leaving, you know, the actual city and going to onwards, but he didn't want to interrupt them, so he just kept walking. Finally, the Chazon Ish kind of came to, so to speak, and he looked around him, and he's like, where am I? So he turns to the guy that was walking with him, and he asked him, where are we exactly? So the person said, we're in Ramat Chen. You know, we left the Bnei Brak, we're ready into the next town, we're into Ramat Chen. So the Chazon Ish said, wow, such a small Tosfos, and the learning of it takes such a long time. The Stipler, he learned in Yeshiva in Bialystok. And he was known for his tremendous, tremendous hasmada, non-stop learning. And they saw that it was very painful for him to have to close the Gemara to go to the Chadar Ochel, the cafeteria, to eat. For him, it was a waste of time to to get up, to go eat, and come back. He couldn't tear himself away from the Gemara. So they got together and they decided to help the situation, remedy the situation. And they decided to bring his meals to the Beis Medrash, put it on the side in the table where he's learning. And when he gets hungry, he'll eat, and so fine. That's what they did. One day, the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Avraham Yafan, he was walking by, and he saw that the food that they had brought the stipler earlier on was still sitting there at the edge of the table. So he's concerned, you know, that he's not eating. So he said to the stipler, "How come you're not eating?" So stipler saw us, the Rosh Hashiva, so he quickly jumped up and he says, "Oh, but Rosh Hashiva, I ate." So the Rosh Hashiva says, "What do you mean you ate?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I ate, and here's the crumbs." So the Rosh Hashiva says, "Here are the crumbs. It can't be," because he saw the sandwich there at the end of the table. So he said, "Here are the crumbs." So the Rosh Hashiva picked up the crumbs in his hand, and he saw that the crumbs crumbled. Meaning, what was it? It wasn't food. It was the plaster from the ceiling that kind of fell down. A little bit of the plaster fell down onto the table. The stipler, being so involved in his learning, he was oblivious to the fact that what he was eating was in fact plaster and not some good food. So that's the Va'ava Tishketam, being so involved that one ends up doing things which might seem to us as quite odd. The Rav Shach tells the Maisa that the Rosh Hashiva in Kletsk was Rav Aaron Cutler, Zatzal. And Rav Shach recalls that once Rav Aaron was giving a shir, klali, to the whole yeshiva, and they're all in the Beis Medrash, and it was in the middle of the winter, so it was very cold, so they had the tanur, the oven, in the Beis Medrash burning, you know, full force. And Rav Aaron's shirim were very, very deep and involved, and usually took a few hours. So the Bachramar, you know, they're listening intently to the shir. And all of a sudden, what happened was the chimney got stopped up. And what happens when the chimney is blocked? The smoke has no way to leave. So instead, the smoke goes straight back into the Beis Medrash. And that's what happened. All of a sudden, the smoke went in, and more got smoke, and more smokier and smokier inside the Beis Medrash. And the Bachram, you know, they're trying to listen to the shir, but it was getting ridiculous. It was hard to breathe. So a few of them left to get some fresh air, you know, and kept getting more and more smoky, and more Bachram left the Beis Medrash, until the whole Beis Medrash cleared out, because they couldn't anymore. It was just the whole Beis Medrash was full of thick smoke. However, Rav Aaron kept giving the shir. Finally, after 3 hours, shir was over. He looked up and he says, "Wow." He says, there's so much smoke in here. He says, "Quick, everybody get out." He was, of course, talking to empty benches. Everybody had left long ago. But Rav Aaron was so involved in the shir, he didn't realize, A, that it was smoky, and B, that the Bachram had all left. Another maisa. Rabbi Shuela of Kutner, he's known as the Yeshua Smalkoy. He was in his, I guess, the living room, and he was learning, and his wife said, "You know, why don't you go to the kitchen and wash until you die, and I'll serve you something to eat." So I said, "Okay, fine." So he got up and he went. But of course, getting up and going to the kitchen, that doesn't mean that he left his learning. He was still involved in the sugya he was learning. And fine, he goes to the kitchen to wash, and he comes back out, and he turns to his wife, and he says, "Listen, I don't like to mix in to, you know, things to do with the household. You know, it's not my area, and I don't usually mix in, but..." You know, you really, said to his wife, "You really should try to get, you know, better fabric for the towels, you know, the hand towels. Because, you know, I dried my hands, and the towel, like, fell apart in my hands. It's like, you know, Again, I don't like to butt in, but you should really get better quality towels. So his wife heard this and says, that's very strange, because she knows her towels are made of very fine material. Okay, so she was very curious, and she went into the kitchen, and then the thing was solved. She understood what had happened. What was it? That he was so involved in his learning, your husband, that he, instead of picking up the towel to dry his hands, he picked up dough that was rising that the Rebbetzin was making some challah out of. So he didn't even realize, but he grabbed the dough and he started drying his hands in the dough. Of course it fell apart in his hands, and the mystery was solved. As once Galinsky said, he was a professor from the Technion, Haifa, came to meet with them and to talk. So they made up a time to meet in the yeshiva. So the professor came, and he saw all the Bachrim learning, you know, with the Hasmada. And so they talked. And in the end, the professor says, you know, okay, I understand. I see everything's very nice over here. But one thing, he says, I have to tell you, I do not understand. And that is, how is it possible that these boys, these young men, can sit there and shuckle, you know, shake back and forth for like 13 hours on end? They're shaking when they're davening, they're shaking when they're learning, and he said, if I was shaking so much, I'd have a bad back. So Rav Galinsky said, let me tell you something. Once I was traveling on a train, going to Khadera, and of course I had a safer in my hand. I opened it up, and opposite me was a bachur. And I'll tell you something. He said he was eating non-stop the whole way. Non-stop. Munching and chomping. He just didn't stop. He says, you know, he said, I couldn't help but just like looking at him, and I was amazed. Just kept eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. And this is unbelievable. So I thought to myself, you know, if I would move my jaws like that for such a long time, I'd hurt my jaws. So how is it possible he's able to do this? So you know what the answer is? He told the professor, if you enjoy something, it's not hard work, it's pleasure. So that's the word. Same thing over here. How could the Bachrim Shaykh say, it's not nothing. It's, if you enjoy it, it's a pleasure. It's not hard work. Similarly, once a Bachar said to Rav Galinsky, you know, I hear the Or HaChaim, you know, how this Torah is so sweet and sweet and it can make you crazy. It's so sweet and beautiful. He said, but I'll tell you the truth, Rabbi. He says, I don't know. I mean, I learned Torah, but I don't find it so sweet. So I'd like to know, is something wrong with my taste buds maybe, or my sense of taste? Like, well, what's going on? Like, the Rav help can explain to me. So the Rav said, no, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with your sense of taste. No, the problem is, it's just that that you're a chicken, that's all. He says, excuse me, I'm a what? I'm a chicken? So he says, let me explain. There's once a woman, she went to do Netil Sidayim for the Shabbos Suda, and she took off her ring, you know, her diamond wedding, her engagement ring, whatever. She put it down on the table next to her, and she went to wash. But she got involved with this and that, and she forgot to put her rings back on her finger. And the Suda continued, whatever, and at the end of the Suda, there was like they're eating off, you know, a plastic, like some people cover the table with plastic. So after the Suda was over, they took off the dishes and they wrapped up the plastic and threw it in the garbage, not realizing that her wedding ring, her engagement ring, was in there as well. Anyways, it got thrown out eventually into the main garbage dump, and a chicken happened to be passing by and said, looks like I can have some lunch over here. So it hopped into the garbage dump and started pecking into the you know, various foods that it found there. Found, you know, a piece of chicken, I found a potato, whatever. And it's pecking away, eating, enjoying itself. And then sure enough, lo and behold, it came across the diamond ring. So it puts it in his mouth, and he couldn't eat it. It was like a rock. He spit it out, and he went to some nice potatoes, other potatoes that he found. Now, what are you going to say? That this chicken has a lack of taste? He says, no, there's nothing wrong with his taste. He's just a chicken. He doesn't understand of these things. Diamond ring, what's chashuv? Well, he's just a chicken. He says, nothing personal, but he said, don't take it personally. He says, you're in good company. There's many like you. There's once a bacher who came to the Chazon Ish with a question. He says that he comes from a family who was not very staunch in their observance of Torah mitzvahs. And Baruch Hashem, he though, Hashem was mezakem, he's a chozer mitshuva, and he was learning very stark in yeshiva. So he said he has the following problem. He says he comes home to, to his family for Shabbos, whatever it might be, and his mother doesn't cover her hair. And you're not allowed to say Tvarim Shebek Kedusha in front of a hair of a woman, that's not covered, married woman. So, what should I do? How should I sing Zmiris? How can I bench because of Mazon? What should I do? So the Chazon Ish answered, and he said, listen, the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Siman Ayin Hey, Sif Hey, that it's enough to close your eyes. So just look into your siddur, and that's it. That's all you have to do. So the Bachar said, yeah, but he said to the Chazon Ish, maybe it's better that I shouldn't move my whole body, in the other direction, so I won't be facing, my mother. So Chazon Ish said, what? He says, listen to me. He says, if the halacha allows you just to look in your siddur, how can you be machmir on the cheshbon of the covet of your mother? Turn your back on your mother, turn away from your mother. How can you do that? It's not covet. Okay, if it was halacha, but halacha says that you don't have to. So you want to be machmir on the with causing lack of covet to your mother? So he says, this type of a chumra is going to just light up the house with fire, and from there there's a great fire of Gehenna. Brings a maisa that it's well known that the Hasidim, specifically the Belzer Hasidim, very, very staunch, very serious about their minhagim. And specifically in Pesach, and more specifically, they are very careful not to eat gebrax, right? Matzah, whatever that comes in contact with water or a liquid. Anyways, the story goes that the Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shalomi Belz, he was sitting at the Seder night, Leila Seder, and his old mother was next to him. When it came to Shulchan Arech, so they brought the soup. And the mother, who obviously was suffering, dementia at her age, she took some matzah, and she didn't realize what she's doing, so she broke up the matzah into small pieces and put it in her soup, which is a big no-no for people who are careful about gebrax, putting the matzah in the soup. But that's what she did. She didn't realize, she's an old lady. So the Hasidim were at around the Seder looking, wow. That would have been half the problem. But then the mother started eating and saying, this is good. So she takes some more matzah and breaks it into the soup of her son, the Rebbe, and says, here, this is good. Try it. So the Rebbe says, okay. And he bends down and puts a spoon and he starts eating the soup with the matzah in it. Gebracht. So the Hasidim, looked at the Hasidim, they were turning white. They couldn't believe it. The Rebbe eating gebrach. So he told them, listen, eating gebrach, he says, it's no isur deraisa, not even an isur derabanan, it's a minhag. Okay, he says, it's an old holy minhag. It's true. But kibud eim, that's a mitzvah sase deraisa. And somebody who's mezalzel in that is over on, we have in this week's Sedra, Arur Makle Avivimo. It's a curse. That's when one receives a curse if he shames his mother or his father, if he's mezalzel in them. So he says, so now what's the shaila? I should be over on a klala in order to be mekayim a minhag, or the opposite. So the Hasidim understood. Galinsky says he remembers when he was a young boy, Chafetz Chaim once came to his city, Krynik, and he was already an old man, very, very old, very weak, and he gave a little bit of a little small drasha. And Rav Galinsky says, I was a boy, but I remember every single word. And this is what the Chafetz Chaim said. He said, Moirai v'raboisai. The Gemara says in Kedushin that Ein Tchilas Dino Shel Adam El Al Divrei Torah. In other words, the first question that a person is going to be asked after 120 years when he goes up to the Beis Shomala is going to be, did you learn Torah and how much you supported Torah? The Ramban brings the Yerushalmi on the Pasuk from this week's Sedra, Arur Asher Lo Yakim as Direi HaTorah Zos LaSososam V'amar Kol Ha'am Amen. That it's a curse for somebody who doesn't uphold the Torah, doesn't support the Torah. So he says, imagine, says the Chafetz Chaim, here's a person that learned, and he taught, and he kept, and he did, and he had enough money to support Torah, and he didn't. That's enough to put him in the category of the curse. Arur Shelo Yakim as Divrei HaTorah Zos. So then the Chafetz Chaim concludes and says, oh, what are we going to answer L'yom Adin? What are we going to come to the next world with? A pinch of tobacco? That was the drasha. So he said, Galinsky was wondering, he was a kid, what does he mean by a pinch of tobacco? What was that supposed to mean? He says only later on he heard a maisa that happened by the Chafetz Chaim earlier on, which then explained this expression. But it happened, Chafetz Chaim once came to the shul, and he saw the people were like chickering and laughing or whatever, so he said, well, what's going on? So they told Chafetz Chaim that in Aishashuk, there's a place where they had a very big shuk market, where all the merchants would come and make purchases, etc. And it was about tens of kilometers away from Radin. So, you know, all the big businessmen from Radin would go there to buy and sell. So there was one, they called the Meshugana of their town, and he walks into shul, and you can tell he's really exhausted or whatever, and he says, I came from the market, from Aishashuk. Oh, and you can see he obviously had made this long journey, he's exhausted, and he came there, but they went, what is this Meshugana? What does he have to do with the market in Aishashuk? So they asked him, and they said, what did you do at the market? So he lifted up his hand, and his forefinger was touching his thumb, and he said, look, I have a pinch of tobacco between my fingers to smell, you know, smelling tobacco. And he said, you know, I went to Aishashuk, and what a deal, you know, I didn't have to even use my money. Some merchant over there gave me a schmeck tobacco, gave me a little bit of tobacco between my fingers, and here I am with the bag. I didn't have to pay anything for it. Look what I got. So everybody shul started laughing. They said, can you imagine? Yeah, he's definitely a Meshugana. Can you imagine going all the way to Aishashuk, tens of kilometers, and all the way back just for a little bit of smelling tobacco in between your fingers? So that was the story. That's why everybody was laughing at him. So the V'chaf Chafetz Chaim shook his head and said, "Oy," he says, instead of laughing at this guy, we should, have Rachmanis on ourselves. So they said they didn't understand. Chafetz Chaim explained to them. He said, listen, he says, our neshamas, where do they start off? They start off with way, 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 way high, high in the heavens. And it comes down to our world, not more than tens of kilometers, much more than that. And it goes all the way down, 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 and the Shama until it finally gets into this world. Why did it come so far? Because here's the quote-unquote market. Here is where time, place to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs, etc., etc. And this is it. And then after 120 years, time is up, and you go all the way back. And what happens when you go back? They're going to ask you, "Nu, so what do you have to show for yourself?" He says, "Can you imagine what are we going to show for it?" "Well, I have a little bit of smelling tobacco." "Oh, how embarrassed are we going to be? Well, we came all this way to do Torah mitzvahs, and we just some monetary possessions. That's it. Some smelling tobacco." But unfortunately, that's going to be the matzav of many people. So instead of laughing at this Meshuggah, he says, we have to have Rachmanis on ourselves. There's a very nice vort he brings that from Rav Shach. Rav Shach once asked him the following question. He says, it says in the Pasuk, say in benching, the end of benching, Yiru es Hashem kidoshav, ki ein machzor li reyav, kifirim rashu vereivu, vedorshi Hashem lo yachzor chotav, which means, literally, that Yiru es Hashem, fear Hashem, kidoshav, those holy ones, those of you who are holy, ki ein machzor li reyav, because if you are in fact a God-fearing person, there's no machzor, you have no lack. A fearing person's not lacking anything. Kfirim rashu, lions might be hungry or whatever, but since those who seek Hashem are not lacking anything. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. It's pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Daled. However, somewhat difficult. What does it mean that you should fear Hashem, because there's no machzor liriyav, that those that are fearing Hashem, they're not lacking anything. What is that? And what? And if a person is lacking, that's a sign that he's not a Yirei Hashem? But we find many people in the Gemara, great, great Rabbanim, that didn't have anything, and they were certainly God-fearing people. To name a few, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat, etc., etc. So Rav Shach asked Rav Galinsky, so what's pshat over here? You should fear Hashem because there's no, as somebody who fears Hashem is not lacking anything. We see that they were lacking. So Rav Galinsky said, good question. And he waited for Rav Shach to answer, which of course he did. And he says, the question's only a question because you're not understanding the pasuk correctly. He says, I have a Kabbalah from the Chafetz Chaim himself that this is the pshat in the pasuk. Says people are scared, and because they think that, you know, if they're gonna put aside a lot of time for learning Torah, that they're gonna suffer, they're gonna lack, not gonna have parnasa, whatever. As opposed to if they involve themselves with work, whatever, so okay, then they'll be secure. Their future will be secure. So, but they're making a mistake. Says, oh, how much are they making a mistake? Why? Says, this is what we're being told over here in the psukim. Yir es Hashem kedoshav. Those that are holy, you holy ones, should fear Hashem. Why? Because ki ein machzor liriyav, meaning that, because don't think that you're gonna be lacking because you're a liriyav, because you're the ones that fear. Ki ein machzor, in other words, because you're liriyav, because you're unfeeling. No, there's no such thing. Because if you're a God-feeling person, that's not going to make it that you're going to and be involved therefore in learning. It's like you're not going to lack because of, and as like we said, as opposed to maybe if I go work and this and that, then I'll be secure. But here I'm going to lack. No, no, no. Don't worry about it. You're as Hashem kidoshav. Ki ein machzor. You're not going to be lacking because you're a fearing person. And I, even if you will be lacking, but you have to realize that's not because you're a fearing person. It's not because you're involved in Torah. You might lack, no promises. You might not have money. But don't think that's because you're learning Torah that you have money, that you don't have money. No. What's the proof to that? The proof is the Hemshech of the Pasuk. That Kfirim, as we said, the lions are Rashu Vareru. Lions here refers to some people that are involved with, they're like big, strong people involved in Parnassa, that they chose a life of, whether it be engineering or being a doctor or in real estate, whatever. Those are the Kfirim, those are the lions. Yeah, what do we find? We find that they're not all rich. We see Kfirim Rashu Vareru. They can be lions, but they're Rashu Vareru. They're hungry. There are people that are hungry. There are doctors that are hungry. There are such things. Some are successful, some not. On the other hand, we find, as the end of the Pasuk said, V'darshe Hashem lo yachzur. On the other hand, we find that those that are Darshe Hashem, that going after the Torah, the lo yachzur kotav, they aren't lacking. Lesson being, therefore, we see that it has nothing to do with what you're involved with. It's not that you're involved with Torah, you don't have food. It's so much food. And if you're involved in a Parnassa, you're going to have a lot of food. No, here's Kfirim Rashuver. Here is a guy, Kfirim is a big Parnassa person, and you what? He's hungry. And here we have the other, on the other hand, Dor Sheshem. That's not the Yachus Rechotov. So therefore, we see from here that it has nothing to do with what you're involved with. What is it? What does it have to do with? It has to do with what is Nigzar Shemayim. Some people Nigzar Shemayim that on Rosh Hashanah that they're going to have Parnassa, a lot of Parnassa this year. So whatever they do, they have Parnassa. And other people, their Nigzar at Rosh Hashanah that they're not going to have a lot of Parnassa this year. So no matter what they do, they're not going to have Parnassa. It reminds me of Rav Chaim Kanevsky, Shlita used to say that a person only really has to work one day a year, Rosh Hashanah, because that's when everything's nigzar for the whole year, and then whatever you do, it's not going to make a difference. In fact, it says if a person is nigzar that he should be a poor, he can be a poor lawyer, he says, poor doctor, etc. And if it's nigzar that he should be rich, so he can be a rich Rav, rich Rosh Hashiva, whatever. He'll be rich. Finished. But what? Of course, person has to put in hishtadlus. Okay, you have to put in some. It's a pasuk. Pasuk says in Dvarim, "Veirachacha Hashem Elokecha." And the Gemara, the Sifri says, "Yachol yehi yoshev b'batel." I might say, "Oh, Hashem gives the bracha. Good, I can. No, I don't have to do anything." No, Talmud Lamar b'chol asher taaseh. No, you have to do. Okay, so I got to put in a little bit of hishtadlus here. The question is, what hishtadlus should I put in? So he says, what's the real best hishtadlus that a person could do? That's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yotes Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Davar Zeh Katu B'Torah, V'Shanui B'Nevim, Meshulak B'Ksuvim. We have a source in the Torah, Nevim Ksuvim, that Kol HaOsek B'Torah Nechasav Matzlichin Lo. We have a source in the whole Tav Tanakh, in Torah, Nevim Ksuvim, that somebody that's Osek in Torah, his possessions will be successful. You want to have the best Hishtadlus that you can have? Be Osek in Torah. That's the best Hishtadlus. It's where is it? We find this in our Sedra, right? In the Torah, where do we find it in the Torah? That's like we said from Keith's Parshas Kisavo. It says, "Mushmartem es divrei habris hazos vasisem osam." What is the Mushmartem? Rashi says, "Zu Mishnah." It refers to learning. If you learn vasisem atom, what happens? Leman taskilu es kol asher tasun. You'll be successful. It says it also, Nevim, lo yamush sefer Torah zeh mipicha, v'gigitza bo yamam v'layla. Says the pasuk at the end, if you learn Torah, ki az tatzliach, es darkecha, v'az tatzkil. You'll be successful. And finally, in Ksuvim, ki im et Torah Hashem chefzo, v'soros to yege yamam v'layla, a person's also can Torah day and night. The pasuk concludes, v'yakeis shasul al palgei mayim. You'll be like a tree by the water, asher pirio yitain miito, that the fruit comes in its time, valeu lo yibol, and as the pasuk concludes, v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach, whatever he does, will be successful in. That is the true key to success. You want to put in ishtadlus? We have to put in ishtadlus. Best ishtadlus is, be osik b'torah. Shvi al zoiche, to put our ishtadlus in the right areas. We should, in fact, make our Rosh Hashanah day of hard work, quote unquote, with our tefillas, so that we can all be zoiche to a shana tova, umubarachas, shana shel briyut, shana shel osher, ve'osher ve'kavod, mish zoiche to exibes simatova lanu l'cho Yisrael, tevias kol tzedek, b'mehir v'yaminu.